tonight. Before we have the different people come up and speak about the different ministries, I want to ask you to go get your kids and bring them in here. That way we can have them all in here and they can see what's going on. And did I already say turn to Exodus? Did I say where? Isn't that great? Exodus 36. So as soon as I'm done, I'll dismiss you, go pick up the kids, come back in here, or we can come in here while everyone's doing their car thing, and then we want to dismiss together. And I want to thank you for being here tonight. And we've never done this before, and so that's okay. So we're just going to go with it, and we're going to ask the Lord to help us and bless our efforts, and we want to carry that over into every Sunday service and every opportunity for service. After this one, Exodus 36, if you'll stand with me, we're going to read two verses, and then we will actually look at 35 and go to verse 30, Exodus 35, verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah, and hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, silver, and brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahizamach, of the tribe of Dan. Now that's key, is that he not only gifted him with wisdom and gave him ability, but he also set it in his heart that you need to teach others to do this. Okay? The Bible says in verse 35, Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work. Now look at chapter 36, verse 1. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work and to do it. Isn't that a great verse? Father, we sure love you, and we thank you for the specificity of the Word of God, and how it just seems, Lord, that every time I read it, and the more that I read it, I'm just convinced that you genuinely have provided for us everything we ever needed to know about life and godliness. You've given us this book, Lord. It's more than just a training manual. It's more than just a manual for life. God, it is our guide. It is everything. It is your mind that you wanted to reveal to us. And so for that, we're grateful. Tonight, I pray that you would help me to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit, Lord, do what you want to do in everyone's life. And I pray that you'd give your people understanding. I pray that you'd have liberty. And I pray, God, that our church would, as we say, how can I be of help, or you can count on me, that you would bless that. You would bless it in every single heart that you've stirred up, and I pray that you'd be honored. Thank you for these that are here. Be with those I pray that could not be here tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just as you see, and it really is amazing when you go out, and if you ever, whether you go on a vacation, just take a look outside. The other morning, we were driving here in Morgan Hill, and the sunrise bouncing off of the clouds was absolutely spectacular. And just a beautiful red hue on the horizon bouncing off the clouds, and it was just breathtaking. And every time you see something like that, every time you look around, I want you to consider the eternal creativity of God and the diversity that exists in the universe. Because our God is not a simple, he's very complex. And that creativity, that diversity is seen in everything. And it exists not just in his creation, but the same eternal creativity and diversity exists within the local body of believers we call the local church. Each of us has not only been uniquely created by God, but each of us has been uniquely gifted by God, as is in every single book of the Bible. You can see in every specific facet that God used somebody, that they were gifted in a way and they were used in that way. And when you put your gifts and when you put your abilities that God has given you to work in the specific way God has gifted you, God blesses that. And he uses that. And it's an amazing thing. Here in our text in Exodus, God's told Moses, okay, I want you to build a tabernacle. And I don't know if Moses said, what in the world is a tabernacle? And I don't know how to do this. I mean, he was a little argumentative at the beginning of his ministry, but I don't know how it went. And God said, listen, don't worry about it. I've got a couple guys that I've given the abilities to do all this. I'm going to bring them to you, Moses. And I'm going to also not just give them the ability to do all this, but I'm going to give them the ability to teach others to do it. And we're going to get the work done. Now, that encourages me to no end, because that means that whatever God has planned for a local assembly of believers, that he has supplied everything needed within that local assembly of believers. Many have called Israel the church in the desert, and we find here that God has specifically not only equipped them, but he also brought others, not only just to the work, but also to do it. Now, in Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we see this diversity now that not only comes in the congregation, we'll call her, in the wilderness in Israel, but now it's transferred to the local bodies, whether it's in Ephesus or in Corinth or in Rome or in Colossae or in Thessalonica or Berea, wherever it happened to be. And God says, listen, when the body comes together, there are many different members of that body. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Then he goes into saying this, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, or according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, all that is to say, everyone in here is unique and designed by God to supply that which this church needs to function as a body. Now, you would want your body to run at maximum potential. I've been teaching this in my Sunday school class, but when you walk, when you get up and you walk in the morning and you walk and you have no problems with your feet, you never do this. You never go, man, my toes are awesome. They're just all in stride together. It's amazing how the little guy, he does his job, and then the guy next to him does his job. This little piggy went this way. And you never do that. You only pay attention if they're hurting or something's wrong with it, when it's not functioning like it was designed to function. Everybody follow me? You never do that. And so it's expectant by virtue of the example in Scripture that God expects his body, no matter how diverse or no matter what the gift, to function in some way, form, or fashion, and to function together. We are all members one of another according to Scripture. That which every joint supplieth, according to Ephesians chapter 4, is why we're here. It's the part that we bring into the church that makes a difference, which means when we don't bring that which God has put in all of us into the church, that also makes a difference. It's just a different kind of different. In a certain mountain village in Europe several centuries ago, a nobleman wondered what legacy he could leave for the townspeople. Finally, he decided, I'll build a church, and I'll give it to the people, and that will be my legacy. Well, the complete plans for the church were kept secret, and so once it was finally finished, the people gathered together, and they marveled at the church's beauty and the completeness. Following many comments of praise, one person inquired, I don't see the lamps anywhere. Where are the lamps? How in the world do you expect the church to be lighted while people were sitting? Without answer, the nobleman pointed to some brackets on the wall. He just pointed. And then he gave to each family a lamp to be carried to the worship service and hung on the wall. And then he made this statement, and I quote, each time you are here, the area where you are seated will be lighted. Each time you are not here, that area will be dark. Whenever you fail to come to church, some part of God's house is dark. What a powerful illustration. not only is it a powerful illustration that, man, if this church is going to be lit, if it's going to be lit, I got to be in my place. If other people are going to see, it requires that I'm here. If this is going to be the way that it's designed, it requires my presence. But far beyond that, it's a great illustration that if we are the light of the world and we have some who are here and functioning and some who are not, then the light is just a little less bright, isn't it? And the function of the body doesn't reach its full potential because of absentees. Because people, the Bible specifically says here that whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work. Not to come to observe it, but to come to do it. In other words, they didn't come to the meeting just to see what everybody else was going to do. They came to be a part of what was going on. That's the idea. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Exodus 36 tells us that God had equipped these two men to manage the job and to be the architects and lead carpenters on the project, but they also had help. God had equipped every one of them in a certain way, and the Bible says that he put a wisdom in verse 2, and Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man, notice, in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom. So, watch. We know by the context previous and after this that it was not all the same wisdom. It was a wisdom concerning a different part of the tabernacle, a different contribution. So God put them if they were a round peg, he put them in a round hole, because not everybody had the same wisdom. And so with that, then God stirred their heart to go and help. Now, that's what I'm hoping will happen tonight, is that as you see and as you hear different opportunities to serve, that you will allow your heart to be stirred, not just because there's work, but you'll have your heart stirred to the doing of the work. That you'll say, I want to be involved in that. I want to make a difference. In this manner, diversity is our greatest strength. And this church, like every other church, must play to our strengths. So God's created all of us and equipped us to contribute. I believe that when our hearts are stirred to become a contributing part of this body, that is when the church becomes something we are instead of a place that we go. Because everything that I read in my Bible in the New Testament at the empowerment of the local church brings the body as a living organism, not a static display. It is something that is alive, and it is something that requires the members of it to be alive and function in a live manner. And that's why we're here. Now, I don't know how God's gifted you. I really don't. But here's what I do know, that when you got saved, that God put and took your life and gave you abilities and gifts and desires according to those abilities. And every opportunity that arises that is in tune with that in your heart, God says, do it. And it's not a grudging do. It's a gladly do. Now, not every single one of us are going to have all those same desires. We're not all going to be able to stand up and teach. We're not all going to be able to stand up and sing. We're not all going to be able to do some things like everybody else does. But there are some things that we can all do generally and all function together, though it may not require a specific gift of teaching or a specific gift of administration, something like that. All right? Now, that being said, what we're going to do is I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. We're going to read one more verse, and then I'm going to start calling up people to talk to us tonight. And I've already had a couple ladies say, don't make me go first. And so we're going to have the ladies go first like we always do. They eat first, and they, you know, we open the door, they go first. No, I'm just joking. All the ladies are like, hey, now turn the air conditioner on, preacher. It's getting warm in here. Ephesians 4, 16. I've preached on this passage many, many times, and I'm not going to preach the whole passage, but in verse 16, essentially the context of this passage tells us that a part of spiritual maturity, now listen carefully, spiritual maturity is not a matter of knowing all the questions in the Bible. It's not a matter of knowing how many books are in the Bible, being able to talk to your children about dispensationalism and soteriology and all those kind of things. That's not spiritual maturity, okay? Spiritual maturity in the book of Ephesians has nothing to do with knowledge. It has everything to do with serving. It has everything to do with when I grow up so that I'm not too tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, I'm able to step back and say, okay, how can I make an impact? How can I make a difference? Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. So the strength of a church is based on what every joint is supplying as a member, according to the effectual working in the measure of some of the parts. Is that what it says? It says every part. Increase maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Everything that is healthy about a church revolves around every member ministering and every saint being a servant and understanding that this is who we are. This is not what we do. As a function of who we are, we do. And God says, I want everybody to be a part. And here's the crazy thing. Some of the ministries that we have that we're going to be presenting tonight, the devil may whisper on somebody's shoulder and say, well, that's not really a legit ministry. I don't see what kind of a big deal that has to do with anything. And yet I will tell you, it all has to do with everything. It is all a matter of a functioning body because something needs to be done. And if someone's not willing to do it, then the body's not functioning at optimum potential. And so God says, I want every joint supplying, every member a minister, every saint a servant, which means whatever you do helps somebody somewhere. You may do something that provides an opportunity for someone else to hear the gospel in a clear way or to study the Bible. You may do something that encourages somebody and gets them stirred up and gets them ready to hear the Bible talk. You may just be helping somebody just keep the peace so that somebody can sit down and do a lesson from the Word of God. You may do something that nobody else sees, and the next thing you know, you say the devil will say, "Well, what's the big deal about cleaning the auditorium, about vacuuming the chairs, about doing the windows?" Here's how you know that it does have an impact. Just don't do it for about a month, and all of a sudden you'll be noticed. All of a sudden you'll be like, nobody walks around and go, men and windows are so clean. Nobody does that. They only notice it when it's dirty. Okay? And here's the cool part. No matter what the ministry, when it's done unto the Lord, makes all the difference in the world. That's the motivation. Why do people stop ministering? Because they're not doing it for the Lord any longer. They've started thinking about themselves. They've started thinking about what people, other people either see, do, and or speak. And instead, they just cease. They back up. They become an appendage, a backpack, rather than a member of the body. And rather than serving, they become a spectator. Now, by the way, spectating is a grandiose position because you see what everybody does wrong. Right? It's like the parents or like the couple that doesn't have any kids. They know more about raising children than anybody on the planet. They do. And they're quick to talk about it. Then you have children. And then you realize you really are crazy, right? Listen, my point in saying all that is what we are supposed to be is servants. What we're supposed to do is serve as unto the Lord, not as men pleasers with eye service. We're supposed to do the will of God from the heart. And so the people that are going to stand up here, they're going to offer you the opportunity to be a part of their ministry. And they're going to do it in very unique ways because they're all gifted in different ways. They're going to talk. There's no doubt. We're going to laugh, and then it's going to be a contest. I wonder if the next one's going to. Then someone's going to say, "Well, I wish I didn't have to follow after that person." And it's not a contest of who can speak better. It's not a contest. This is a contest of the race that you've been running since the day you got saved. The race has been set before you. Tonight you have the opportunity. I'll come up and give some closing remarks about some other things that we want to accomplish, and then we will go from there. So, Brother Travis, where'd you go?